We have such an amazing God. And I hope as we go through just this today that you're going to have an even greater revelation. The topic that we've been going through for this whole year is rooted, and I really love that because we need to be grounded. We need to have those foundations really deep because we are told that everything in this world is going to be shaken. And if everything in this world is going to be shaken, I want to be standing with my Father sort of strong, knowing that He is my strength and He is my foundation. And breaking up that across the year, we are obviously in this one about Jesus. And that excites me so much. And the reason is how easy, guys, is it to talk about someone that you love? So those of you who are married or have got a partner, how easy is it to talk about someone that you love? I can talk about, she's shaking her head already. I could talk about Natasha for hours. I don't need notes or anything like that. I know her because I love her. And thank you. I'm after the brownie points. It's Mother's Day and everything. So that's all good. So when it comes to Jesus, Jesus is someone that I love. And it is so easy to talk about Jesus because of the way that I have, or he has that relationship with me and I have that relationship with him. So this morning, we've gone through sort of Jesus is with us. Amen. Jesus is fully man and fully God. We've gone through Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that ties us up or leads us into this week, which is Jesus is exalted. Such a beautiful kind of theme. And the word exalted means lifted up, put in a high position. And there's a nice thing with this word that it's an adjective and also a verb. So it is that descriptive word. Someone is exalted and they are in that high position and you're describing that high position. But also it's that verb. And the verb is what we do. We exalt Jesus. And we'll return to this just towards the end. But just remember those two kind of positions of the word exalted. So what I want to just start off with is talking about Jesus being exalted, whether you exalt him or not. He is exalted. And the beauty of the Bible that the more I dig into this, the more I find just some incredible things. I'm just going to share just a little fraction of what I found. But I'm going to start off with just sort of confirming that Jesus is exalted. He was exalted as the plan from the very beginning. And we are going to cover some verses that have already been mentioned in this series, but this one is particularly very important to me. Starting off with John 1:1-5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome." And that is talking about Jesus. It's got a capital W as word. It's talking about Jesus there being the Word in the beginning. And the Word in the beginning, as we know, is that Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," and goes on. I really just want to delve into this bit. And I just from Isaiah 46, 9-10, this is just a little important bit. It says, "Remember the former things of those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Now, I love that little verse. It is saying, it is God just making out, look, I am God. I threw the stars into space. I am the creator, and I know the beginning and the end, and I'm happy to share the end from the very beginning. So I have a couple of slides. So if we just put up slide one. And this is in Hebrew, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we're going to be able to do a little bit of teaching here, but it won't be too tough, and hopefully you'll get a revelation from it. With Hebrew, it's right to left rather than left to right. Yep, sorry, I had to just check my... they write in different ways, so it will be written in the other direction. The beautiful thing about Hebrew, especially with ancient Hebrew, is it's what's called an ideograph. It's they're images which are representative, and they mean something. Each letter has a meaning and a part to it. So this whole sentence here is the very beginning of God's word that he gave to Moses to write down. Now, there's something really special about this, and it is the way that it is written. So in Hebrew, again, I'm not going to go too deep, but just take it all in. In Hebrew, usually the main focus, the main point is mentioned first. Now, if you were God... wouldn't you want God to be at the start? Yeah, that would be the way that the sentence structure would actually be made up, that it would be usually God created in the beginning. But it isn't. It is in the beginning God. And I love the breakdown of this because, going back to that John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So if we're saying that's Jesus, let's have a look at that first word. So just on the next slide, we have the word Bereshit. And that is in the beginning. And it's a beautiful word because it represents so much. I think I'm even going to just go up here just so I can do some pointing. Just to stretch my legs. And each one, so just at the top, you've got the modern Hebrew. And the modern Hebrew is just more of a formulated text than it was just in the olden days. In the ancient Hebrew, there were these pictographs. And the pictographs here represented something. And the very first letter of Bereshit is Bet, which is house. And the beautiful thing about this is the very first letter is capitalized. It's usually a larger letter, and it was in the olden days, the same as how we would start a sentence. So at the start, you have a large house. If we just go on to the next slide, the next one is Resh, which is it's a picture of someone's head, and it represents usually the first person. Or it represents the first person in this instance. Together, those two actually create another word, which is son. So we have a picture of a house and a picture of a son. Now, right next to that is this is a picture of an ox. So you've got to have a little bit of imagination, but this was what they had. Their letter in the middle of this word is the ox, which stood for strength, and it stood for God. The ox there is representative of God. Next, we go on to this other one, which looks like a W to us, but it was for teeth. It showed sharp teeth, and it was things like destroyed or destroying or that type of thing. And then following that, you have an arm. And this is, yeah, just it was a picture of an arm with a thumb and a finger. And just at the end, you have this cross. Okay, it is a cross. It's used as a mark, and it's where we sort of sign by the cross comes from. It all originates all the way back to this, where they had a cross, and it was your mark to say that you had provided your authority on something. Now, the beauty of this very first word is if we go just to the next screen, we have all of those together. We have house, first person, which we've said is son of God, destroys arm on the cross. How amazing is that, that in the Torah, in the Jewish first book, in our first book of Genesis, that God is giving us his whole plan of Jesus in that very first word. And you take that and you then read John 1:1, and all of a sudden your eyes are opened up going, God knows what he's doing. I'm going to come down, I feel too high. So it's a fantastic piece. And there is so many other pieces within that. And I do recommend you kind of look it up. Do some searching on these types of words, because there is so much detail in there. I would just want to mention, I said about the Torah, and there was a bit of a reason behind that. Think that this was written in the Torah, and now the Jews just still don't recognize Jesus. If that was the case, don't you think they would have changed that and made it something different? But they haven't, because God is supreme and God rules. Amen. So there we see God's plan to exalt Jesus as our Savior through the cross in that very first word. The next kind of little thing I wanted to bring up is just again going through some bits in Genesis. We have Genesis 5. Now, I don't know about you, but I get to those genealogies and you kind of just skip by. But there again is a beauty in the genealogy at the very beginning of the book. And we've got a slide. I made it up in bit by bit. It's all one big slide, hopefully. Yes. And it's this genealogy which goes from Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Malael, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. And it's all in Genesis 5. And each one of those names, just like the symbol, they represent something. And you can have a look through Genesis, and it even says, at each point, like Seth, it says appointed in there. So it wasn't made up. But again, you look at that. Adam, man, is Seth appointed. Enosh, mortal, sorrow. The blessed God shall come down, teaching that to his death shall bring to the despairing rest and comfort. What a God. Just, again, showing Jesus in Genesis before they've even thought about anything. This is before the law was even given out. So there's so much, there's even more, time doesn't allow. There's even more built in that genealogy. But it is just to say, okay, again, Jesus is being exalted at the very beginning of our earthly time. I'm going to jump ahead a few books now, and I just want to read out. So this is, we're now in Numbers 21, and it's verses 8 to 9. And in I'll take a little step back, actually, just a fraction of a step back. If we just read the Old Testament and not the new, we will get often very confused. If we read the Old Testament and the new one, both unlocks each other. It's a beautiful thing. As you're reading the new, you're understanding the old. Then as you read the old, you understand the new. Again, the intricacies of God working throughout the Bible to show how amazing he is. Just this little bit piece in Numbers 21, 8 to 9. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. When anyone was bitten by the snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived." Now, again, if you didn't have the New Testament, you go, that's a little bit odd. That's a little bit strange. God, you said don't make altars and things like that, but now you're telling us to look at something? So we're able to kind of jump ahead a little bit now into the New Testament to unlock what is going on here. And what is going on is found in John 3:14. And John 3:14 says, and this is Jesus now speaking. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Now, if that's not a picture of being exalted, lifted up, then it's hard to find another one that is. You have this pre-incarnate of Jesus sort of being shown as Moses lifting up this bronze snake and people looking at it and being healed. And now Jesus has said, "I've come to fulfill that because I'm going to be lifted up. And when you look at me, when you bring me in, you will be healed and you will have eternal life." Amen. So we find then this is all sort of pre-Jesus' earthly life, and already he is exalted on high. But then we have Jesus' ministry. So as he comes as a baby to us, then there is that richness that as we read about his life, that he has come to redeem mankind. On one of the large there's about three large points which come from Jesus' life towards the end. And that is Jesus' resurrection. Now, just with Jesus' resurrection, he had to go to the cross and he had to then rise from the grave, because he came to take on sin. Now, we as a people can exalt Jesus for that, because he came down perfect and then took our sin and put it up on that cross. And it displayed God's victory over death and the grave. So I like it. I'm just going into Psalms 46:10. I love just going back and reading this verse. It says, "He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth.'" And this is God coming down as Jesus. As we've said, Jesus is fully man and fully God. This is God fulfilling that he will be exalted among the nations. Jesus is in Matthew 23:12. Jesus himself actually says, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So Jesus is showing us that he's come down as the most humble to take on sin, as a perfect being, taking on sin, becoming a servant. And he's doing that for then knowing that he's going to be exalted. just amazing. Just in Philippians 2. And this is from, did I put from 9? I put from 8, okay. It says in Philippians, this is, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. So it validates Jesus' claim of deity, his sonship. All the things which are spoken about in the Old Testament, that is the validation, the confirmation that as he rose, he became victorious. So in his resurrection, he is exalted. As we know, he came down and there was a period of time before he ascended back to heaven alive. And this was called the ascension. And even in the ascension, he becomes exalted. Because as he finishes his earthly ministry, he is taken up. He is taken up to a position, to that high place, where he has the authority in heaven and on earth, and he provides us with the advocate, provides us with the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Without that happening, then we wouldn't have received the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus is to be exalted just for that as well. So we have Jesus now exalted in the old, exalted in the new, through his life, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And we have got a future Jesus that we are looking forward to. One which will exalt him here on earth. Going back to that statement, he will be exalted in every nation. We wait patiently for other scriptures to be fulfilled about the coming of Jesus. And when he comes, he will come like thunder. He will come when everyone in the world will know that who Jesus is. There won't be any mistaking who Jesus is. And at that point, he will establish his throne here on earth. So then he will have the throne of heaven and throne on earth and be truly exalted. So, going back, all of this is that adjective, the description of him being in that high position. The Bible in no ways can be not understood for knowing who Jesus is and the position that he should be at. So that leaves us then with that verb, that doing word, that are we exalting Jesus in our lives? And this is what gives me the most amount of excitement. And it's the most amount of excitement because I know in my past I have put Jesus first and things change. When I lift Jesus up first, my life changes. I am stupid enough to not always remember that, and I do go into situations where I should have thought of that first. But we are all human, and we are... And the aim is to be slowly more like Jesus until we have new bodies. Amen. But here, are there situations in your life where you need to put God first? Where you need to exalt him and put him in that high place? Are you going through life? Are you putting your work in that high place situation? Are you exalting your position at work or your job role? Or are you exalting the TV even above all everything else? Where is Jesus? Is he being exalted correctly in your life? Now, I love this church, and I adore Pastor Paul and Pastor Wendy, because I know that they put Jesus first above all things. And I know whatever they're going through, they put Jesus first, and that changes things. When we listen to our worship team, Ian's not singing for Ian. Yes, most of the time. No. Ian's not singing for Ian. Stacey's not singing for Stacey. Miriam's not singing for Miriam. Carl's not singing for Carl and the wider teams. They're doing it for Jesus. And that's why we've had a morning like we've had, where you can feel God in the room, where you can feel his presence, when you can feel the Holy Spirit at work, because we are putting him first. Amen. Now, something that Pastor Paul wanted to do towards the end, which I'm guessing we're still doing. Okay, good. Because that makes it easier. I mentioned about in Numbers about that snake being sort of put up on a pole, and that people looked up and were healed. And Jesus became that. Jesus was the one on the cross, so we could look up and be healed. He now is in heaven, amen, and we can look up. And that is where our help comes from. That's where our salvation comes from. That's where our healing comes from. And as a church, we want to make sure that we are healthy. And we know that there are lots of people going through difficult times, and certainly those people with sort of health issues. So this morning, we want to pray. We want to stand with you. We want to pray for that. And we want to all be looking up at Jesus for that transformation and change in your life. So just at the end, that's what we are going to do. But my goodness, time has really shot away. So what I just want to do is, I just want to ask the question, do you want to exalt Jesus? If you want to exalt Jesus, can you please stand? Okay, we're gonna pray. True Savior, true Redeemer, exalted one on high. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for everything that has been happening this morning. Thank you that you have shown yourself to be exalted. Father, I pray that as we stand here this morning, that we put you first, that we exalt you first, before everything else. Father, we know that you sent Jesus to die for us. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Jesus, that you took our sin and put it on that cross. Father, as we begin to finish this service, Lord, if there is anyone in this room that needs prayer, that they need healing, Lord, that they have the confidence in you to just come up for prayer later, Lord, and that you, as you have shown how awesome you are, that not even the smallest little letter in you goes unnoticed or without a plan, Father, that each one of us will not go unnoticed, that we will be able to look to you, and as your word says, we look to you for our healing. And we just pray that now. And Father, if there is anyone in the room this morning who just hasn't had that revelation of you, I pray now, Lord, that your spirit comes upon them, and that there is the joy of the Lord in their life, that there is the peace of the peacekeeper in their life, that their life changes. Father God, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. And we just place everything in your hands and do what you need to do. In Jesus' name, amen.